Our text this morning is in the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, verses 18 through 20. Let me read verses 10 through 20 for us this morning. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, Matthew Henry was an English Puritan, born in 1662, the same year that Puritan ministers were ejected from the Church of England for refusing to conform to prescribed prayers and scripture readings and other forms of public worship. His father, Philip Henry, born 1631, died 1696, had already lost his pulpit the year before Matthew was born in 1661. The great evangelist, George Whitefield, repeatedly read through Matthew Henry's commentaries on the Bible during his daily devotions and found them rich food for his soul. Matthew Henry also wrote a book on prayer entitled A Method of Prayer, which was a bestseller for 150 years and went through more than 30 editions. I highly recommend it. In it, he offered page after page of scripture to use in prayer, in adoration of God, in confession of sin, in petition for our own needs, in thanksgiving to the Lord, in intercession for the needs of others, and in the conclusion of prayer. He exhorted people to begin every day with God, to spend every day with God, and to close every day with God. He said, "When God intends great mercy for His people, the first thing He does is set them a praying." Matthew Henry wrote in his diary, "I love prayer. It is that which buckles on all the Christian's armor." He also wrote, Oh, that in it, that is in prayer, I might be inward with God. What incomes of grace and peace and glory, yea, and outward good things, as far as they are indeed good for us, have we by our access to God in Christ. Such a companion ready in all their solitudes, a counselor in all their doubts, a comforter in all their sorrows, a supplier in all their wants, a support under all their burdens, a shelter in all their dangers, strength for all their performances, and salvation ensured by a sweet and undeceiving earnest. What is heaven but an everlasting access to God? And present access is a pledge of it. In our text here in Ephesians chapter 6, the Lord is telling us that we must fight by prayer. This is the true method of Christian warfare. To call upon God is the chief exercise of faith and of hope. Through prayer, we obtain from God every blessing. This morning, we consider for a few moments three aspects of prayer that are set forth in this passage. First, being watchful in prayer. Second, praying with all perseverance. And third, making supplication for all the saints and especially for ministers of the gospel. So first of all, the Lord commands us in Ephesians 6 verse 18 to be watchful, or to be awake and alert, that we might pray always with all prayer and supplication. Scripture often connects prayer and watchfulness. We read in Matthew chapter 26, verses 36 through 46, that Jesus Christ three times in the Garden of Gethsemane commanded his disciples Peter, James, and John, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. Three times our Lord went away to watch and to pray before his arrest by the Jews as he agonized over the cup of God's wrath, which he would soon drink as the Lamb of God sacrificed on the cross to save us from all our sins. The Apostle Paul writes in Colossians 4 verse 2, continue earnestly in prayer, being watchful or vigilant in it with thanksgiving. 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 7. The end of all things is at hand. Therefore be serious and watchful in your prayers. In Ephesians 6 verse 18. The Lord commands us, be watchful in prayer. What does that mean? Never let yourself become slack, but all day long have a watchful, alert soul that always comes to the throne of God, speaking to Him in prayer. The Christian is a spiritual soldier in the army and in the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. The soldier must never be off duty or let his guard down. As the soldier of Jesus Christ, you must be on watch every moment you are awake. It is in the unguarded or the unwatched moment that God's people fall into sin. When David was not watching his own soul, he fell into sin with Bathsheba. When Peter was not watching his own heart, he denied our Lord Jesus Christ three times. Prayer is critical, but we must also be watchful in prayer. We must pray with vigilance, pray with alertness. As we stand against the wiles of the devil, as we wrestle against principalities and against powers and against the rulers of the darkness of this age and against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places, There is so much to watch out for. What are some ways that we should watch in prayer? First, we should watch for needs in ourselves or in family members or in others around us that we should take to the Lord in prayer. Sometimes we are weak in praying because we are not alert. We are not on our guard. We are not watchful for what Satan is doing. A watchful prayer warrior is someone who is alert. He is watching carefully for his spiritual and physical needs and for the physical and spiritual needs of his family. He is also watching carefully for the needs of society and the needs of civil government and civil governors. He is also alert to the physical and spiritual needs of the church of Jesus Christ. He is alert to the needs of the lost. He prays to the Lord for all kinds of needs. A mature Christian who is watchful in prayer does not just pray for one or maybe two things. No, he sees needs everywhere. And he brings these needs to God in prayer. He has an eye and an ear to see and to hear the needs of men in every place. A watchful prayer warrior never has enough time to pray to God. There are too many needs to bring to the Lord in prayer. Second, a watchful prayer warrior does not let his mind wander when he comes to the Lord in prayer. He keeps his heart and his soul and his mind alert as he prays to the Lord. He is alert to God's holy will. He prays, Lord, your will be done. A watchful prayer warrior continually asks himself, is my will in submission to God's will? You cannot be a watchful prayer warrior without submitting your will to the Lord's. Third, a watchful prayer warrior eagerly watches for answers to prayer. When God answers prayer, the humble child of God gratefully acknowledges God's answer to our prayers. We come to God in prayer saying, Lord, thank you for hearing again the plea and the cry of a poor beggar. When we look for God's answers to prayer, we're watching to see if God's hand will not act mightily in response to the cries of His people. Parents, as you pray each day for the salvation of your children and for their growth in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, according to the vows that you took at their baptism, you should patiently and eagerly watch for signs of spiritual life in your children and spiritual growth in them so that you can nourish conviction of faith and repentance in them. That is watching for God's answer to prayer. John Bunyan said one of the greatest sins in his life was to knock on the door of God's grace and then immediately walk away instead of watching and waiting upon God to answer his plea. We need to watch for God's answer to our petitions. If you are in the midst of a trying and difficult time in your life, pray all the more. Remind yourself that you are not alone, but you are one of God's many children. You are a unit in the army of the Lord Jesus Christ. You belong to the Lord with both body and soul in both life and death. And therefore, through Jesus Christ the Lord, you may look to God for help in all of your needs. God has endless, unlimited resources. Go to God's great armory in prayer and watch for His answers. As you fight against the devil and against principalities and against powers, be renewed in the strength and in the power of the Lord by watching for His gracious answers to all the needs of all His people, needs both of body and of soul. Pray until the Lord hears and answers your cry in His grace and mercy. Do not give up until God hears your cry. The Lord says in Isaiah chapter 64, verse 7, "And there is no one who calls on your name, who stirs up himself to take hold of you. For you have hidden your face from us and have consumed us because of our iniquities." God wants us to take hold of Him in prayer. God wants us to take the kingdom of heaven by force. God delights when we wrestle with Him in prayer with holy compulsion, watching and waiting for His perfect answers to our cries. Fourth, a watchful prayer warrior watches his life so that his life is consistent with his prayers. If I tell God how much I love Him, but then disobey His law, the Lord sees the contradiction between my prayers and my life. God tests the sincerity of our prayers not so much by the prayers themselves as much as by our actions that follow our prayers. Does your life, the way you spend your time, the things that you do and do not do, the things that you say and do not say, show that you are earnest in seeking the things that you ask God for in prayer? There are people who pray beautiful prayers, but their life flies right in the face of their prayers. That is what happens when we backslide. If we are watchful, that should not be. When we are watchful prayer warriors, our prayers and our life are consistent, seamless, one harmonious flow, one piece. Fifth, a watchful prayer warrior meditates on God, His attributes, His word, His works, the things that you bring to the Lord in prayer, and His answers to prayer. Out of the storehouse of meditation, you cry out to God with fervent and earnest petitions from the depths of your soul and your heart. There are more ways that we should watch and pray as vigilant prayer warriors, but these are five ways that you can practice as you pray and as you watch every day. The second thing the Lord teaches us about prayer in verse 18 is to pray with all perseverance. It's not just with perseverance, but all perseverance. Paul underlines the word perseverance. He emphasizes persevering. He is saying, do not ever give up on the Lord. Do not say that someone is beyond prayer or some situation is beyond prayer. If you have a loved one who is lost and does not believe, persevere with all perseverance in prayer, pleading with God to save and rescue and deliver. Do not give up on the Lord. The Greek word for perseverance means to adhere to persist in prayer, and do not ever stop praying. When you fight Satan, you cannot give up. You must persevere. Even when you feel defeated and you look defeated and you do not see any hope for the future, press on with perseverance. The Lord says in Galatians 6, verse 9, "For in due season we shall reap if we do not faint." or lose heart? Why should we persevere? First, we should persevere because the Lord has commanded us to persevere. He has commanded us here in Ephesians 6 to persevere in prayer. And throughout the Scriptures, the Lord commands us to persevere in trusting God and in pleading with Him in prayer. Second, the Lord highly commends perseverance. Those who are serious about anything persevere in it. If something is valuable, you must persevere in it. Third, God has His wise purposes for answering our prayers in His time and in His way. One of those purposes is to mature His church and refine our faith, our trust in Him and in His Word. For example, we read in John's Gospel, chapter 11, verses 5 and 6, "Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister Lazarus. So when He heard that Lazarus was sick, He stayed 2 more days in the place where he was." Martha and Mary both separately admonished Jesus when He came to them, saying, "Lord, if You had been here, my brother would not have died." Jesus said to Martha, "Did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God?" Jesus was more glorified by raising a Lazarus who had been dead 4 days than He was by healing a sick Lazarus. God is more glorified by waiting to answer our petitions. As we wait upon the Lord and watchfully pray with all perseverance, the Lord refines our faith and matures us. We often learn more by waiting upon the Lord for His answer than we do by receiving His answer to our petitions. God purposefully wants us to persevere. There's never a reason to give up on the Lord. Never. It is foolish and dangerous and sinful to give up on the Lord. By nature, that is what we tend to do. First, in our pride, we do not want to be beggars pleading for the Lord, with the Lord for His mercy. Second, in our unbelief, we do not believe that God will do what we ask. It seems too good to be true. We trust human reasoning more than God's promise. Third, we often have our expectation in something else, something other than the mighty hand and the infinite mercy of the Lord our God. And fourth, many times we simply do not want to submit our will to the Lord's will for our lives. So we stop praying. John Calvin wrote, "We must repeat the same supplication not twice or 3 times only, but as often as we have need, even 100 and 1,000 times." And he goes on to say, "Sometimes the Lord in prayer holds us in suspense for prolonged periods of time so that we do not know whether He is asleep or awake when we call upon Him, or whether He has turned His back upon us." Calvin says the reason the Lord does that is to make us like the importunate widow, the persistent pleading widow who kept on persevering, who kept on begging and asking the Lord, who will not take no for an answer. The Lord is not really tardy, Calvin said, but He appears to be tardy in answering our prayers because He wants to help us and try or test the constancy of our faith. Pray with all perseverance. God does not need our prayers. God could do everything without us, but God has chosen to work in us and to work through us. And He blesses us through the instrumentality of prayer. This is so important. If we can persevere in the things of this life, God can give us the grace to persevere in prayer and in spiritual things. You persevere if you want something. God wants us to knock at the door of His grace again and again and again and again. Pray with all perseverance. Persevere in praying for the salvation of the lost. Persevere in praying for the salvation of your own family, your children, your grandchildren. Persevere in praying for all the needs that you see because you are awake and alert and watchful. In our text in Ephesians 6, the third thing that the Lord teaches us about prayer is that we must be watchful and persevere in praying for all the saints. We must be watchful and persevere in interceding for all God's people. All of God's people should have all who are the Lord's dear to their hearts. When one child of God is in need, then all of God's people should feel that need. When one child of God rejoices, then all of God's people should rejoice with them. We should rejoice with those who rejoice. We should weep with those who weep in intercessory prayer. Thank the Lord for the good that comes to a brother or a sister and pray in thanksgiving with them, for them, because of them. Why is persevering prayer, intercessory prayer, so important? First, we are all engaged in the same spiritual battle against the wicked one and his whole dominion. In Ephesians 6, verse 12 and following, the Apostle Paul uses the first person plural, we. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. We all partake of our common salvation. Jude tells us in verse 3 of his epistle. Salvation is not only private and personal, it is also common to all of God's people. We face a common enemy. We are all subject to the same problems and to the same difficulties in our lives. This is one reason that gathering together with God's people for public worship is so important. The devil wants us to think that faith is only personal and it only involves me. If we listen to the devil, we sit in our own corner and we have a hard time. We pity ourselves, we feel sorry for ourselves, we become cast down, we become depressed, and the devil triumphs. One of the best remedies or antidotes to that is to go to God's house to worship the Lord in the gathering of His people and realize that all of God's people struggle with the same things that we are struggling with. We're not alone in this. So often, someone thinks that they're the only one who has this problem. And I tell them, oh no, there are so many others struggling with exactly the same thing. And they say, oh really? I thought I was the only one. We all face the same wiles of the devil. We all wrestle with the same principalities and powers, with the rulers of darkness and spiritual hosts of wickedness and temptations and attacks. We have the same doubts. We have the same discouragements. And the moment we realize that others are involved in experiencing the same trials that we are experiencing, we are strengthened to stand up and to face the enemy. This is why prayer meetings are important. God's people come together to storm the mercy seat of God in heaven. The strength of united prayer is greater than solitary prayer. Not only that, but second, we must realize that the battle we are fighting not only involves us and all of God's people together, but the battle is the Lord's battle. We see this in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. When the people of Moab and Ammon and others joined together to fight King Jehoshaphat and God's people in Judah, they were in terrible trouble. Jehoshaphat feared and he set himself to seek the Lord and he proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And all Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord. People came from all the cities of Judah to seek the Lord. And in 2 Chronicles chapter 20 verse 15, the Lord said to Jehoshaphat and to all the people of Judah, "Do not be afraid or dismayed because of this great multitude. For the battle is not yours, but God's." We often tend to view our problems only in a personal and subjective way. We think about my problems, my difficulties, my fears, my hopes. And the result is that we become entirely self-centered and defeated. We need to realize that what happens to us as individuals or as families or all together as the people of God is but an incident in the great battle of our triune God against Satan and all his forces of darkness and evil. It is but a part of the great battle of the ages. The extent to which we realize that we are involved in this great battle of the Lord against the devil and all wickedness is the extent to which we shall be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. We're just one unit in God's many armies. God has given us the privilege of fighting in His battle against the devil and all his forces and powers. This is a great crusade of heaven against hell. This is a great battle between righteousness and unrighteousness, between truth and falsehood. This battle is a spiritual battle to which we must give all our energy. A third reason intercessory prayer is so important is that because we are members of one another, failure affects the entire army. If the enemy penetrates the front line because of the failure of one person, the whole army is affected. When any one of God's people falters, it affects the entire campaign. The enemy tries to get any point of the line to fail. The church is the body of Christ. There are weak members in the body of Christ who always need attention. God places people in the body of Christ to test the persevering prayer of His people. How long will we bear patiently with them and pray for them and with them and help them when we fail to love them in intercessory prayer? We are weakening the body of the Lord Jesus Christ as a whole. And therefore we need to pray for all the saints that they will be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might and not falter. We are mutually interdependent. None of us lives to himself and none of us dies to himself. Whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. Nothing can happen to even one believer that does not also involve us. If any believer fails, we all suffer because we are all members of Christ's one body. We're all in God's army. and all parts of the same line of battle. The devil rejoices when an individual Christian fails. Be watchful and persevere in praying that every believer will stand faithfully for the Lord in his battle. When one fails, the world trumpets it aloud. The way to avoid discouragement and not focus on how bad your problem and your difficulty and your trial is to pray for all the saints, for all the needs of God's people, to persevere, being watchful in intercessory prayer. Look at how bad the problems and the difficulties are that other believers in many other places face every day. They do not know whether they will remain alive tonight or die in the battle this afternoon. Pray for the dear believers. Pray for all the saints. Pray together. Persevere together. Seek God's face together. And then the Apostle Paul says something quite remarkable in verse 19. He says, and pray for me. Paul says, I need your prayer as a minister of the gospel. He says, and for me. Watchful, persevering, intercessory supplication for me. That utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. The Lord commands us to pray for ministers of the gospel. Ministers are to ask their congregations the way Paul asked the Ephesian church to pray for them. This morning I appeal to you with the Apostle Paul, pray for me. I need your prayers. Paul does the same thing in his letter to the Romans. In Romans chapter 15, verse 30, the Apostle writes, now I beg you, brethren, through the Lord Jesus Christ and through the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in prayers to God for me. Join me in my struggle before I come to the pulpit to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ and the Holy Word of God. Paul entreats and he begs them to pray for him. In Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 11. The apostle, or rather 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 11. The apostle pleads, you also are helping together in prayer for us, that thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf for the gift granted to us through many. Whatever good comes out of the ministry of the Word of God and the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ is largely the result of God's people praying for the minister. Intercessors have a vital part in the ministry of the Word of God. Pray that God's servants may speak His word boldly, with liberty and without fear, without faltering, without stumbling. Pray that they may speak the truth of God faithfully and fully and without compromise. Pray that they may be delivered from the fear of man and the learning and the wisdom of man. Pray that they may become a fool for Christ's sake. The world is like a gold mine. And the prayers of the saints are those who hold the ropes as the pastor descends into the gold mine with the gospel of the Lord Jesus to mine the gold and to bring forth sinners as shining gold. Are you a rope holder for your pastor? Are you a watchful, persevering prayer warrior for your pastor? Apostle Paul writes in Colossians chapter 2, verses 2 through 4, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love and attaining to all the riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ. Excuse me, chapter 4, verse 2. Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Meanwhile, praying also for us that God would open to us a door for the Word, to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. That word, to continue earnestly, to be vigilant, means that we are dedicating ourselves to prayer. Apostle Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 25, brethren, pray for us. And in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1, he says, finally, brethren, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified, just as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for not all have faith. How was the word of God glorified with the Thessalonians? Well, Paul tells us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5, for our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance, as you know what kind of men we were among you for your sake. Pray that your pastor may speak in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Most people have no idea what the work of a pastor is like. They cannot begin to fathom what it is. They have no idea how great their need is. The longer you are in the ministry of the gospel, the more impossible the work becomes, and the more you know you need the help of the Holy Spirit of God, and you need the prayers of the people of God. Thank God we have praying people. I encourage you, brothers and sisters, pray for your pastor. What should you pray for your pastor? First, pray that God will give him utterance, that he may be able to speak freely and well, that he may be able to speak clearly the truth of the Lord. Every minister knows that he can only say a little of the great truths that God has called him to proclaim and to preach. Second, pray for boldness. Pray that he will speak without reservation, holding nothing back, without fear of man, declaring the whole counsel of God's word. And third, Paul says, pray that I may speak as I ought to speak. How ought he to speak? Paul says in Ephesians 4, verse 15, speaking the truth in love. Pray that we may deeply feel the truths that we speak, and we may bring them with the powerful and compelling spirit of love. Pray, being watchful and persevering, that God will bring much fruit from His Word. Pray for us. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we pray this morning, You by Your Holy Spirit will apply Your Word to our hearts. We pray, Heavenly Father, that You will move us to be persevering, watchful prayer warriors, making supplication for all the saints, being alert to the many needs that are among your people and in your church, and also those that are outside of the church. And Father, may we pray not as one person, but recognizing that we are but one soldier in the vast army of Christ. We are but one part in that one body of the Lord Jesus, that we are engaged not in our own battles, but in your battle. And Father, we pray that you will use us as a mighty instrument in your hand, praying for the saints, praying for the lost, praying that your word would run and be exalted, and that you will be glorified in the salvation of your people, praying for the growth and maturity of the saints, praying for the pastor, for preachers of the gospel everywhere, that you will enable them to proclaim the riches of Jesus Christ and his glory, that you will open their mouths to boldly make known the mystery of the gospel and the way of salvation, and that you will enable them, Father, to speak that truth in love, without the fear of man. So, Father, we pray that your word will touch our hearts, that your spirit will renew and transform us, and that your word, not only this day, but this week and even this whole year, may go forth with mighty power, casting down the strongholds and all that exalts itself against you, and bringing your sheep to hear your voice, to submit themselves to you, and to be faithful soldiers in the army of the Lord Jesus. Hear us, we pray, for your own name's sake. Amen.